Good morning. It's 9:36. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO 90.7 in Portland, KBOO Radio Network, KBOO.FM, live streaming across the world. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. At least as best I can deliver it without my reading glasses. This week... Oh, and I want your calls later, and I'll give you the number soon. This week, Bill Kick Me Frist decided to give his presidential campaign a boost by adding his voice to the Smear the Queers Amendment. And meanwhile, the NSA revelations have grown and grown so that we now know that all of our emails, faxes, telephone conversations, and for all I know, bathroom graffitos are gathered and analyzed by supercomputers. This is handy for several reasons, not just to identify dissenters to target, but to analyze trends and zeitgeists and possible cracks in the collective psyche. Notice I didn't say to stop terrorism, because that's bunk. The word terrorism is a control word, and it's supposed to make you jump, and you're supposed to look for terrorists, whatever the hell they are or whatever you're told they are. And oh my gosh, the program director is loaning me her reading glasses. This is the greatest radio station in the world, KBOO. This is awesome. Okay, let's see. Ooh, they work too. They're extra dork, I think, so I should be able to deliver this. Oh, this is great. So, like I said, not just to identify dissenters, but to analyze trends and zeitgeists. So I have little doubt, and I tried to think of a way to emphasize that. It's like, what happens when the Fourth Amendment goes down? What happens when information that should be private to you is stolen away from its privacy? Hideous things. Any crack in the collective psyche. Your psyche, yeah, but the collective psyche, which should also remain private. Think of that. I mean, it should remain private from manipulative governments in any case. So I have little doubt, speaking of manipulation, that when Karl Rove sets up the Smear the Queer efforts nationwide, like Oregon's Measure 36 of yore, it is because he uses the best and latest hyper-analyzed social data collected from these terabits of information. He knows it will work because the data collected shows that whatever U.S. citizens might actually say or pretend, they know what's in the emails, they know what's in the faxes, and Americans are actually quite frightened of the greater spectrum of human socio-sexual behavior. They're scared of queers, homophobia, especially as it is mirrored in themselves. Very useful, very, very useful for a social manipulator. So if the great totalitarian computer says that targeting queers will work to unify millions of soft-headed people, you can count on it being correct. It will be right. What you say, no evidence. Oh, and why am I so into this? Well, in case you haven't heard my program before or you didn't catch my name at the beginning, I am a transgender woman. I sound like a guy because I was brought up a guy and there's all kinds of testosterone in my vocal cords. And I learned these guy speaking patterns, and they especially come down on me heavy during this program because I adopted a hyper guy sort of attitude when I first started doing this 20 years ago. Anyway, what you say, no evidence that Karl Rove does this? I would say that the likelihood that he does such thing lies in, first, his access to such information, and second, the fact that he would never even once consider acting in a restrained or moral fashion, would he? Especially as it concerns the wielding of manipulative political power on behalf of his Führer. Is there anyone anywhere who actually thinks he would hold himself back from using that information? Likewise, the sudden attack on Hispanics is doubtless a calculated policy developed from this rich vein of spying. White English-speaking U.S. citizens are frightened of, paranoid about, unfamiliar with Hispanics, and suspect that they're up to something more than survival and freedom and the pursuit of happiness. They're talking about you when you go by and you don't understand what they say. They're talking about you, aren't they? They're talking about you? No, they're not talking about you. But anyway, therefore, dictator facade Bush shows up on the television set and says he's sending troops to the border. What the hell kind of sense does that make? Perfect sense. It's brilliant. There are a lot of caveats, conditions, and evasions associated with that act, but it doesn't matter because, first, Bush considers himself a law unto himself, or to be more specific, the Bush puppeteers think that way. And secondly, the real intent of the act is racist propaganda. Evil people are being met with armed force. Get it? Don't you feel better? The 29% remaining fanatical Bushites and their prospective allies in the Bush comeback don't read the newspaper at all, much less the second sentence in the article in the newspaper. They understand that this terrifying threat of new people who are different and therefore evil and might be talking about me is being met in a familiar and satisfying way. They lap it up like gravy. It's working. You know, touchdown Bush. But before I get down to the bonehead part of the population or get down on them, there's something far more sinister to this attack. It works on the college educated. Now, this isn't a new thing either. This goes back to the Creel Commission, development of sophisticated American propaganda, the most sophisticated propaganda mind control system in the world, Creel Commission, the 1920s. Look it up. And, well, before the 1920s, they got people in World War I. That's where the cybernetic analysis of our collective unconscious comes into play. I won't say that sentence again because it's a little difficult. Sorry, but, you know, this is the meat of it. This is where the cybernetic analysis of our collective unconscious comes into play. This is the problem with the NSA. Get it? Rove knows that even the liberals are afraid. And the reason I mentioned the Creel Commission is they said there had to be at least a two-tiered approach to propaganda and war propaganda. So you have to get the lumpen proletariat, just do what you say and accept what you say. And then the people who have actually had some education, you have to give them some slightly more sophisticated bullshit. So I've been hearing so-called liberals call into talk shows and ask, basically, when the immigrant populations, and they don't mean Canadians, when the immigrant populations are going to be punished for not doing things legally, for being forced into false identities, and that's code for when are you going to round up the brown people? Oh, Bush has already started on that, hasn't he? For more than 100 years, Uncle Sam, Tio Caiman, has forced the countries of Latin America, at the point of a gun, to sell their raw materials for a trice. And Tio Caiman says it's illegal to build your own value-added mills and factory, now changing in places, and boy, is it raising bloody hell. I mean, when Brazil wants to build their own factory, when Venezuela wants to have control of their own oil, what happens? We start talking invasion. So how did these countries get poor? Are they just dumb? Are they lacking in some way? Is brown worse than white? No, our financial elites demanded, insist, it enforced poverty on Latin America, have been doing so, what do I mean, 100 years, more like 200, more like 500. Education programs and milk for babies are cut under austerity programs by the U.S.-controlled World Bank. We make damn certain people are poor. Brown people. So listen, liberals, how could there be worse punishment? You want punishment? How could there be worse punishment for, say, Nicaraguans than having your five-year-old daughter's fingers used for pistol practice by the wholly owned and directed U.S. Contras? Yeah, I read a report about that. I'm not making that up. What could be worse for Salvadoranos than having Ronald Reagan and Pat Robertson's personal friend, blowtorch Bob Dobuisson, burn the face off your wife as she screams while tied to a chair? What more punishment shall we offer to, I mean, oh my gosh, they came into this country illegally. They took identities. What more punishment shall we offer to Mexicans in coordinating the cover-up of the wholesale machine gunning of students in Mexico City in 1968, or the subversion of their entire banking system to Citibank for maximum wealth extraction from the entire country, or the destruction of all Mexican corn farmers' income by passing NAFTA and allowing ADM to sell in Mexico for a quarter of the price? That is, until they destroy everyone else, then they raise the price. That's how that works. How much damn punishment do you want to mete out, liberals? How about Guatemaltecos who lost whole villages? Hundreds of thousands of peaceful, innocent people to our Escuela de Asesinos graduates and their torture factories. Dig up the mass graves and ask them what they think of who got punished. They got punished in advance. And what about when people get here and find out that magically their forged documents are accepted on the I-9 forms at Jack in the Box or wherever, and then they're expected to work for base pay forever, twice as fast, twice as hard, no breaks, extra work off the clock, and never a word to be said in complaint? Or else it might suddenly happen that somebody who's white and lives in the suburbs, looks to see if those documents are correct. Oh, look there. Oh, that's not a real ID. Is that punishment enough? How about when you pay into the social security system for decades and never qualify for a cent of it in the end, because eventually you will get old and slow enough for your fake documents to accidentally, find the quotation marks, get found out. There's such a thing as karma, I suspect. Who are the guilty parties? Who started this crap and who benefited? Who benefits from $1,000 worth of work paid at a rate of 100? I'll give you a hint. They don't live in the Hispanic part of town. So I never want to hear another word about punishment and amnesty. It's just liberal abuse. Mommy, stop, I'm bleeding. Please, mommy. When does it stop? I have a different suggestion. Let's reject all of that oppression, including the part where we look the other way and let employers hire people as second-class human beings. Want your kids to have jobs? If I deserve a living wage, then so does my fellow world citizen. Screw the American citizen part, world citizen. An injury to one is an injury to all, remember? The cry that they are depressing our wages is the wail of an infant. Let's grow up. One big union, remember? One big union. Got to have some guts to get out of this situation. If I get $22 an hour driving a bus with awesome benefits, then by God, mi hermana desde Tegucigalpa gets the same damn thing. And woe to the employer who says no. Right, y'all with me? Are we all standing together now? Solidarity forever. Oh, the troops are on the border. Oh, that's good. That'll stop those people. What the hell is wrong with liberals? Proud to be an anarcho-socialist. That's the attitude we should take. The real problem is that we have all acted in racist manner. Yeah, me too, in order to benefit the ruling elites and to sneak in a little personal advantage here and there as well. You know, and if that drives up the price of strawberries in a country noted for its endemic obesity, well, cry me a river. That's the way out of this whole capitalist global warming totalitarian regime, by the way. Out of this nightmare. Solidarity. Education and solidarity. You know, there's a reason the first thing the Sandinista government did in 1979 was to introduce literacy campaigns. There's no such thing as democracy without full literacy, without full disclosure. And now it's paying off at last, as the Sandinistas are heading back into power after all these years, after all this U.S. intervention, after all that money to throw the election, after all the money that went into the Congress to shoot and bomb and kill them. We need to educate these so-called liberals. When you don't know your history, liberals, you're going to get manipulated. We drove Latin America north. We did it. We did it, and we benefited from it. White liberals, we did it, okay? No more talk about punishment. People need to be educated, too, that Katrina was an act of genocidal neglect and the opening salvo of a new war against African Americans. Some people want to de-emphasize the facts on the ground as if acknowledgement of the Bushite plan neglect is a conspiracy theory. Hey, how come the first train arrived at the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco where the whiteys were in trouble? How come the first train arrived at 11 p.m. that day? This is 2006. That was 2005. What, can we afford on the left to throw away black people now? How would that be moral or tactically effective? So don't believe the crap of the corporate-owned media throwing up about these rescue helicopters being shot at on any significant basis. Some people shot their guns in the air to say, hey, I'm still alive, but look, that crap about helicopters being shot at, that was calculated. And I do mean supercomputer, analyze, artificial intelligence level calculated to punch your racist buttons. Punch the fear black people button, boys. All will be in order soon. Works. Likewise, ask yourself, why did Tony Snow use the term tar baby twice in a press conference this week? You know, Randy Rhodes is right. It doesn't matter what the context was, really. It's a code word to the NASCAR set, just as Ronald Reagan's presidential campaign launch in a southern lynch mob city, remember that? 1980? It's a code gesture. The people it's aimed at understand it. The troops on the border are propaganda. They're not going to stop very many people coming in. They're not supposed to. They're a handy notice and precedent that this Bushite regime can and will break the Posse-Comitatus law, and they'll use federal troops to project the will of corporate America. That's spelled with three K's. Get used to the guy with the machine gun on your street corner. This all affects even the whitest and rightest. Under the Martin Niemöller principle, you know, first they came for the homosexuals, and I didn't stand up for them because I wasn't homosexual, and they came for the gypsies, and I didn't blah, blah, and then the Jews, etc. You know the quote by now, I hope. And the basic lesson is, if they come for X, you're next, and there ain't no Y. Got that? If they come for X, you're next, and there ain't no Y. I nearly faced some deadly consequences myself yesterday. If you want to call in, by the way, the number is 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. As a result of all this calculated hate mongering, so when I say solidarity, when I say thank you to, for example, Pineros y Campesinos Unidos, I mean it and feel it as it is necessary to my own survival. It's a very rare thing for anyone to stand up to me when I'm doing my job. Anyone to stand up for me, I mean, when I'm doing my job driving a municipal bus, that's what I do for a living. When someone decides to transfer the aggression of their self-loathing onto me by bullying me for being a trans woman. Actually, three people over the course of 4 years have stood up for me, and two of them are associated in some way with this radio station, as it turns out. That's three people out of hundreds of near daily incidents for years running. TriMet, the bus authority, simply ignores the problem for their own benefit and purposes, I think. So that says something about education and being necessary to human rights and revolution, I think. But yesterday, I was alone, not driving the bus, but just having parked my car at 10:38 a.m. on East Burnside outside of the Philo House thrift shop, which opens at 11. I popped out to look in the window to see if it might be worthwhile coming back later to look for used drapes for my house. Two giant corn-fed 60-something white Republicans were strolling east on the sidewalk. I mean, they were big. And they remarked rather pointedly that I was in a no-parking zone. Now, if that sounds a little non-sequitur to you, I should explain. There's a bumper sticker on the back of my car. that says, one man, no on 36. And it was cobbled together from appropriated yes on 36 stickers by my artistic daughter, and it has been the cause of many a rage-filled comment since that Smear the Queers law was passed a year or so ago. So I looked over at the couple, who are rapidly approaching. It's just me and them on the sidewalk. Sidewalk's empty. To acknowledge them. I mean, it's like they said something strange. I look at them like, okay. And I look back in the window, cupping my eyes to see better because I want to see if I can get some cheap drapes. Now, these people knew it was my car, of course, because I had just popped out of it and had spent all of 10 seconds looking in the window. Got the picture, beautiful warm day, uniformed bus driver on the sidewalk, large whiteies strolling along. Normally, I don't give much attention to these Gucci and Rolex types, except to avoid meaningful conversation. However, these two positioned themselves on either side of me. He used to be strong, obviously, and was about 6'2". You're in a parking zone, he said, as if I needed to jump on it right away. So I looked him over. I said, I don't see a badge on either of you two, and looked back into the shop for reason A, to finish my business there, and reason B, to visually dismiss them. Well, this just popped their Republican quirks. TriMet A, said the man, and pulled out his cell phone and began dialing. I guess he was going to dial 238 riot or something. He wanted to report employee misconduct. Now, this sort of thing doesn't work at all. I have a union. So I had nothing to fear from this gesture, but I was infuriated that anyone would engage in such aggression against me, against my job, against my family, just because I'm queer and working class. So I told him and his good lady wife just what I thought of them and the horse they rode in on, which was when the woman said something very interesting. I have a gun. I have a gun, she said. I always thought it would be a pickup truck with a high school sports team wielding bats. That's how I thought I would go, you know, at least on the streets. But I expected the death penalty for transgenderism to appear that way, as it has for so many. But no, I was being threatened with death by a superannuated, morbidly obese, upper-middle-class woman. Surprise, surprise. Well, she could have easily killed me if she had simply said nothing about a gun, if she had stepped back a couple of feet and just opened fire. That would have worked. I don't know how she would have explained gunning down an unarmed bus driver in broad daylight on the basis of a parking violation, though Lord knows, I admit it, mea culpa, I was parked in a loading zone. Guilty as charged, Your Honor. However, I did take an excellent self-defense class years ago, and I have kept in practice, and it is very difficult to bring a firearm to bear against me if I'm standing next to you. If I can reach you, you shouldn't do that. Most especially if, A, you tip me off, and because, B, I'm twice as fast and three times as strong as you, so... Of my options at that point to avoid death, the first to plead for my life, oh, please don't kill me, probably a 60% chance of survival. Second, to run away bent over in irregular zigzags, probably a 40% chance if she practices at the range. Or third, use the Robinette gun grab. I decided on the gun grab. Shoot me, I told her. Shoot me! Shoot me! Pull your weapon! Murder me, I said. She looked like she really wanted to. You should have seen her face. But after I shouted and taunted her several times, she got smart. She might have been a jerk, but she wasn't stupid. She kept it in her butt holster. Man, she could have kept quite a hand cannon in there. Then hubby called... I shouldn't say that. See what happens when you get mad? But anyway, then hubby called 911 and said they were being attacked. By me! For refusing to die by gunshot, I suppose. Now, once again, this is all about power, arrogance, gun permits, and homophobia. I figured a cop would show up, and the person with the less money was less likely to survive, so I cursed them roundly and escaped as quickly as I can in my car. But... Wait, it's not over. Did you think a queer was going to get away with an incident like that? The cops came to my house. One cop, actually. I refused to speak with him. God knows what I'm charged with, if anything, but Mr. White Republican must have had some connections in clout, because I work with cops all the time as a bus driver, and if there's been no assault, no spit, no blood, no theft, no nothing, I guarantee no cop is going to show, not that I would ask them to, and the moral of this story is solidarity or death. I will stand by the Hispanics and the blacks because it's right and because it's survival, and we all need to stand together or we will be manipulated and ruled forever by corporate capital and their fascist minions, right? Any phone calls? Nobody got nothing to say. 503-231-8187. Forever pregnant. New federal guidelines ask all females capable of conceiving a baby to treat themselves and to be treated by the healthcare system as pre-pregnant, regardless of whether they plan to get pregnant anytime soon. It's so funny, it's not funny. Among other things, this means all women between first menstrual period and menopause should take folic acid supplements, refrain from smoking, maintain a healthy weight, and keep chronic conditions such as asthma and diabetes under control. Well, that seems pretty absurd to me. I'm an androgyne. I'm between my first menstrual period and menopause. I don't think the thing will ever actually function in that sense. I'm officially female. Am I going to be arrested if I don't take folic acid? While most of these recommendations are well known to women who get pregnant or seeking to get pregnant, experts say it's important that women follow this advice throughout their reproductive lives because about half of pregnancies are unplanned, as so much damage can be done to a fetus between conception and the time the pregnancy is confirmed. The recommendations, federal guidelines, mind you, aim to increase public awareness of the importance of preconception health. There's more to it, and you can read it on WashingtonPost.com. Hi, I think we have a caller. You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
You're on the air. Hi. How are you?
Oh, because you got that few-second delay, right?
You got the delay. You got to listen to me and not to the radio.
Oh, does that mean I can swear?
No, it doesn't. We don't have that button yet.
Oh,
We're going to install that next.
All right.
Well, now you do that, we'll cut you off.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to put in my 2 cents worth on the immigration question.
Go ahead.
Well, I've been thinking about this, and, you know, the United States has between about 5 or 6% of the world's population, and yet it consumes about a quarter of the world's resources.
Uh-huh.
Now, the border and the law are set up to enforce and perpetuate that unjust and unfair situation.
You know, I can barely hear you. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, so what I was going to say is that people, you know, by circumventing the border and circumventing the law, they are, in a concrete manner, as opposed to just an abstract or theoretical manner, working to, you know, actually remedying that situation, you know, and making, you know, a more egalitarian and just world.
Okay. Makes
so
sense.
So I just want to say that's why I support illegal immigration.
All right. Okay. I dig that. Thanks a lot for calling in.
All right. Hey, right on, sibling.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for calling in. News, Recombinomics, the H5N1 virus has been detected among poultry in almost all the country's 33 provinces in Indonesia. The comment on people not knowing on what happening in is, okay, there's a comment in the Indonesian news on people not knowing what happened in Indonesia. And Recombinomics writes, it's alarmingly clear the evidence for source of the human H5N1 infections in Indonesia is strongly pointing away from poultry and towards a mammalian source. That's the latest on bird flu, and I'll take the next call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know that I think your show rocks.
Well, thank you.
Look forward to listening to it every week, and then I call my wife at work, and we talk about what you're talking about.
Well, thank you. You know, it's going to change to 9 o'clock instead of 9:30 in June. It'll be at 9 o'clock. I used to be at 9 long, years ago.
Oh, we'll catch it.
Okay, good. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, last caller.
Hey, thanks a lot. Look, I just wanted to call in and drop in mine. I guess with inflation on like it is, maybe 25
cents
worth. Okay, so the guys you ran into the other day, the man and the woman, uh-huh. We really got to understand about the people who are stuck in that mindset. They seem to actually something that's really awful for us to admit. They don't want people that aren't like themselves to exist. It's the very sight of somebody who's not in their group drives them to a rage. And
they were in a rage, all right. So was I after they pulled that gun.
Well, did she actually pull it out?
Okay, that's a bad phrasing. After they pulled that gun stuff, she didn't pull her gun out. Otherwise, I'd have it, and it would be state's evidence.
Well, you know, you were talking about how the police do or don't respond. I guarantee you that if they had called the police and said someone told them they had a gun, they'd have had the cops there for them, too.
Yeah.
So what you've got going on here is a situation where these people believe down at the very core of their souls that they're the only people who should be allowed freedom to move about. And when we forget that, when we try to assume that maybe they, too, have human kindness as part of their makeup, we got to remember that they do not see us as human. They only see people as human who are just like them.
Can we educate them? Okay, speaking of solidarity, it's time for me to get off and let somebody else talk.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for your great work. Okay. Thank you for your great work.
Okay, bye-bye. Stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine on KBOO 90.7 Portland, KBOO Portland.